Welcome, warriors. This podcast is a collection of sayings, of wisdom, of truths, of lived experience for those who've walked or are walking the unchosen path of narcissistic abuse. My name is Kimberly Weeks, and I am your host. I'm a fellow survivor and a certified trauma recovery coach. And it is my hope that when you listen to this podcast, your heart will be encouraged, your mind will be fortified, and your soul will begin or continue to heal. These are the things that have held many of you in bondage, kept you stuck, but this is how you're going to break out of it. I'm going to give you interviews. I'm going to give you practical resources and tools. I'm going to do some teaching that help define some terms and give you language for what is happening to you so that you can walk out of the haze and the fog and the confusion that's taken place in the narcissistically abusive relationship. These are our stories, and this is a love letter to you. So let's get into it. What's up, warriors? This is Kimberly Weeks, the narcissistic abuse coach. I'm so glad you're here, okay? I'm so glad that you have made the commitment to you to do whatever it takes to get to the other side of narcissistic abuse recovery. And that is why you're here. So welcome, welcome. Today we are going to unpack a question that I continue to hear in session with clients. It is one of the most common questions that survivors of abuse ask. And the reason they ask the question is rooted in their childhoods. So let's look at the question of, is the abuse that's happening to me with the narcissist my fault? Let's get into it, okay? I cannot tell you how many times I have literally been watching TV or listened to a blog or a vlog or been reading something online, and I've heard this lie. I'm going to call it what it is. We're going to call a spade a spade. I've heard this lie that, well, the person keeps going back to the abuser. I guess they like that kind of thing. Well, they're the ones that chose the person. I guess that they deserve to be abused. You hear phrases like that are very blame shifting and put the fault of what's taking place in the abuse on the person who is being abused. And I gotta tell you, it makes my skin crawl, okay, for so many reasons. And one of the primary ones is this. As a coach, as a certified trauma recovery coach, when I'm working with people who are coming to me seeking answers for narcissistic abuse, 9 times out of 10, when we start having a conversation, it becomes more and more apparent that they grew up in or had a model in their childhoods of the same pattern of behavior. They experienced trauma bonding with a parent. They saw devaluation. They saw a parent or, you know, one of the spouses discard the other, abandon the other, neglect them. And so they grew up in this marinade where that was normal. Okay. And so they grew up, they became adults, they started, you know, dating and having relationships, and they felt more comfortable in environments where those same patterns of behavior were happening. And so when people say, oh, well, that person must really want to be abused, it's asinine, first of all. But it's also like, you know, what happened in that person's childhood that created the space inside of them where that behavior wasn't something that was shocking to them, where that behavior was normal to them. And so because the pattern of narcissistic abuse is 9 times out of 10 rooted in a person's childhood, and that was the model for a relationship dynamic between male and female, or male and male, or female and female, whatever their family system was. That adult that comes and sits in front of me is really asking, why is this happening to me? What am I doing to deserve this? Is it my fault? And how do I overcome it? And often the abuser, the narcissistic abuser, is saying those exact words, and they are echoing words that were said by either their mother or their father or their primary caregiver. Well, if you would just clean your room up, you wouldn't get yelled at. Well, if you would just get good grades and do what I'm telling you to do, I wouldn't have to smack you across the face or pop you. Or if you would just X, Y, or Z, the list goes on. There are all of these messages that come to people in our society and culture and the world and all across the globe that make it the responsibility of the person who's being violated for their violation. And I'm going to take a deep breath because I get really, really excited about this, and not excited in a good way. I get passionate about it because it burns my heart up for someone to be violated and blamed for it. And I know it does when you hear it, and it causes a level of confusion for you. For many of us, that is rooted back to that framework that we were marinated in as children. Children, the way God created our brains, children are always trying to make meaning. They're always trying to make sense. Their brains are developing, and so they're trying to put two and two together. And so when you have a mom or you have a dad who is abusing the other parent or you, a child's brain doesn't have the development to process that. And so what it starts to do is find survival pathways. That child starts to try to figure out what it can do, what he or she can do to be safe. That is primarily how our bodies are made. And so often that child will stop speaking, stop using their voice, know what their parent expects and try to get ahead of it and meet it before the parent gets home so that they don't get yelled at or they don't set them off. Especially if you're dealing with parent addicts, alcoholics, drug addicts, and things like that. Children start to figure out how to navigate the environment to the best of their ability to stay safe. And as they get older, those adults that develop start to do the same when they butt up against that same kind of abuse. So to the question of that client that's sitting across from me that says, hey, why is this happening to me? Is this my fault? Is there something I can do to stop this person from abusing me? I'm going to say categorically and unequivocally, it is not your fault. It will never be your fault that someone is violating you as a human being, treating you without the dignity and worth that you are God ordained with. That is not your fault. And I said, okay, so what does that word even mean? And I looked it up in the dictionary. Fault, that word fault means responsibility for an incident, accident, or a misfortune. Fault is rooted in mistakes, inadequacy, something that happened that was a misstep, mistake, or an accident. And I'm going to tell you, there's no way you can be at fault for someone abusing you. There's no way you can be culpable for it because you didn't do it to you. And so it's not something you can take responsibility for. It's something that happened to you. So the responsibility for an incident is the person who perpetrates it. The responsibility is the person whose actions caused it or who acted upon it. So you can never be at fault for someone abusing you. And I'm going to say categorically, I'm so sorry that anyone has ever said to you that you are responsible for the misfortune, that you are responsible for the incident or responsible for the behavior of someone who violated you. If I could virtual hug you right now, I would, and I hope that my words will. You are a human being that deserves respect, honor, love, and value. and valuation and to be treated as such. And there is no way that you could ever be responsible or at fault for someone's violation of that. So when I'm sitting across from a client and I'm unpacking what they grew up in that created the mental framework for that behavior to be normalized, my heart often breaks. A, because I've experienced it. B, because I understand how confusing the pathways in their brain have, how it's been entangled and twisted and distorted, and how they arrive where they are across from me. And so if I'm a coach and I'm coaching you, as I am doing today on this podcast, I want to say to you that even though you didn't have a choice with the family system you were born into, it's not your fault, the framework that you were given. It's not your fault what you saw and what was normalized for you. But I want to share some good news with you, some really good news. Because now the seat that you're sitting in, the awareness that you are receiving, you're not that child anymore sitting in that house, powerless to change what was taking place around you. You're an adult sitting in the seat of wherever this podcast is finding you today, with authority, agency, and choice. It's the most precious thing, one of the most precious things that we have. One of the things that ripped open the cognitive dissonance or the confusion while I was in narcissistic abuse was that one sentence. You have choices. You do. You have choices right where you are. So even though there was a behavior pattern that was normalized for you in your childhood that set the stage, and all of this has to be grieved. I'll say that first of all. All of this has to be lamented, unpacked, understood how it impacted your nervous system, what happened in your body that causes that kind of pull or compulsion towards certain kinds of behavior that aren't healthy for you. All of that has to be dealt with. But even though that happened, today, in the present moment, as an adult, you have choices. You have agency and you have the authority to decide what the rest of your story is going to look like. And that's the best news I've heard all day. When I realized that I was not powerless anymore, I may have felt that way, but the truth was that I wasn't. It like lit up Christmas trees all over me. It lit up a sky of fireworks. I was like, oh my gosh, wow. I really am in the position where I get to decide what happens next. And so I want to impart that to you today. The narcissist knows what's inside of you. They know, and that's why they chose you. They chose you because you're so crazy gifted, so incredibly resilient. You've got so much treasure on the inside of you. That's why they picked you. They don't pick weak people. They don't pick people who have no benefit, who have no asset, who have no worth or value. But they do seek to take all of that away from you for themselves. So as we're having and closing this conversation out, I want you to know that the gift I want to impart to you today is that gift of you have choices. It is not your fault, could not possibly be your responsibility, but it is absolutely your gift and your authority today to decide that I'm going to move one step closer to getting to the other side of narcissistic abuse recovery. That one step closer could be listening to a podcast like this. That one step closer could be reading a book, taking a course, getting a trauma recovery coach. It could be going to trauma therapy. That one step closer could be eating well today. That could be taking a shower and, you know, taking your supplements. It could be taking your medication that's been prescribed by your psychiatrist. That one step closer could be telling someone that loves you what's happening to you. And so I say one step closer because it is not wise, unless you are in imminent danger, your life's in danger, your children's life is in immediate danger. It isn't wise for someone to just pick up and leave a narcissist. It is wise, however, for you to get a plan, for you to get a support system, for you to have a community of people who know what's happening to you and can support you through the process. And for you to strengthen and fortify your soul for the steps that are going to be needed to walk free. And my hope in this particular podcast and all the others that I put out is that I am a part of that team helping you get there, okay? It is a worthy, your life is a worthy investment. It's worth every bit of effort that you're taking right now to change the trajectory of your life and the life of your children. And everyone who knows you is rooting for you, including me. So this is our episode. Is it your fault that the narcissist is abusing you? No, ma'am, and no, sir, it is not. But it is absolutely your gift today. And it is absolutely you have the authority today to make a decision, one small step, that will get you to the other side of your recovery and get you to freedom, okay? So I want to just impart my love to you today. I want to impart to you that I believe in you. I want to send you some virtual courage through this podcast. And I want to tell you that you are worth love. You deserve honor. And I'm asking you to guard your heart, because everything that happens in your life that flows out of your life is coming from that place, is coming from the gift inside of you. I remember saying to the person who abused me that they could not have my heart. It was the most precious thing that I possessed, and it belonged to me, and nobody could take it from me. And I'm going to say the same thing from you. You're here listening to this podcast because you've got an incredible heart. And I'm going to tell you that it's worth the effort to protect it, to strengthen it, and to heal it. Thank you for joining us for today's session. My name is Kimberly Weeks, the Narcissistic Abuse Coach. I'm so proud of you showing up. And if you're looking for more intimate support, I one-on-one coach clients at thenarcissisticabusecoach.com. Reach out and let's schedule an appointment. Also, if you're looking for a tribe of healing warriors, I have created one at the Kimberly Weeks Freedom Academy. And that website is kwfreedomacademy.com. It is nothing like being with people who get it in narcissistic abuse, and who you can walk the journey with weekly, and hear about how people are being healed, how God is helping people overcome things, and share your own story. So reach out if you're interested, and my prayer is that you will enjoy this journey of healing. It's worth every second.